everyone, and welcome to another show brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. You guys already know the deal. Like, subscribe, share with your friends, leave comments if they're positive, because that's what we want. We want good vibes. There seems to be good vibes with the team. We want good vibes in here. We've got Chris Walder, who is king of good vibes. Chris, what is up? How are you?
The king of good vibes. I'm going to put that on my resume. I feel like that's hard to top. Like, if some employer out there wants to hire me and they say king of good vibes, literally the first thing I put out there, it's going to be hard to turn me down.
The Raptors should hire you. I mean, they have Jakob, who's been seeming to bring some good vibes in, but if they want to inject some more.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they need my size out there. I mean, they got like this vibe going on with the 6'8 guys. They now got a big man, a 7-footer out there with Poeltl.
Can you handle the ball a little bit? I don't know
if I fit the criteria. Can I handle the ball? Absolutely not. I'm the kind of guy that just like sitting on my couch and watching basketball. If you throw me out there on the hardwood, Lord have mercy.
Chris, you have your podcast returning. I want to say, everyone, Walder Sportscast is out. I was the guest today. So, you know, if you're not sick of me already, you get to double up.
two for the price of one. We got the Walder Sportscast. We got me coming on here to talk some Raptors Cavaliers. I think one
you
ended
have the
up
advantage.
A little bit better than the other. Yeah, I know, because we didn't have to talk about this game. Two thumbs up for this guy.
Yeah, you definitely have the advantage there, because this is the longest intro ever, because I'm just delaying talking about that game. I don't want to talk about that game. That was, ugly. I think that was one way to put it. So we're talking, we're recording right after the Raptors lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, somewhere by like 100 points, I think, was the final score. Chris, what were your thoughts on that game?
You know, it started off bad when I absolutely forgot the game started at 6. I don't know why I was under the impression that it was starting at 6:30. So I'm in the kitchen washing dishes. My wife turns on the TV and is like, you know, you're missing the game. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I plop down, I get my laptop out, and I start taking notes. At that point, the game was still somewhat enjoyable. But, you know, via the instant replays and rewinding of my television, I come to learn that, you know, Scotty Barnes was not on the official's best side. And it resulted in Nick Nurse getting a little bit upset and getting a technical foul. And that was kind of like the story early on in the game, was why are these officials not kind of making it a little more even keel here? The Cavaliers were getting a bulk of the friendly whistles, and the Raptors could do no good on defense or offense. So when the game starts off like that, and like we just said, the vibes are immaculate when we started this podcast, but on the court, it was anything but. And I think a lot of that had to do with the officiating. You can only blame them so much, but at the same time, some of those calls were pretty bad. But you know, the story of the game to me was that the Raptors were always kind of clawing their way back in. But no matter what, Cleveland consistently had an answer. And their ultimate answer was Donovan Mitchell, a guy who the Raptors have essentially had his number during earlier meetings in the season. But I feel like he kind of like was like, that's not happening anymore. The Raptors kind of held me to, you know, single digits or low scoring numbers early on in the season. Now I'm going to make them pay. And
yeah.
Boy, did he do that by just torching us from outside. No matter what the Raptors did defensively, he was hitting some incredibly difficult shots. And when Donovan Mitchell is on like that, there's not a lot the Raptors could do. As good as they've been defensively, if he's hitting shots like that, it's game over for Toronto. So obviously a lot of ugly basketball on our side, and then Cleveland just brought it offensively, especially from Mitchell.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, this isn't a game that's going, if you want OG Anunoby on your all-defensive teams, this is not going to be a game to really highlight of his, in my opinion. Also, offensively, the team just did not have it. I think in order to keep pace with this Cleveland Cavaliers team, yes, you kind of have to stop a guy like Donovan Mitchell, a guy like Darius Garland, who's getting, I think he had like 8 of their first, like, I don't know, 10 points early on. That might be Pascal Siakam, who had that for the Toronto Raptors instead. But no, Darius Garland was definitely going off early on as well for them. In order to stop that attack, one of those two guys from going off, the Raptors do have the defense to do that, but they also have to be able to match something on the offensive end. And I think this game was an absolute slugfest offensively. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Fred VanVleet and his role on the team and yada, yada, yada. I think that, like, and I tweeted this out, and I think you had a tweet that's sort of similar. Correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, the idea is there's been so much talk on this Raptors team about guys wanting bigger roles. And it's like, okay, games like this show up. And this is kind of where you have to go out there and prove it and do it. And so I was looking for OG to get going. I was looking for Gary to get going. And I think part of it is with any of these lineups, you're only going to have two spacers out there. So unfortunately, OG does really need to be camped out in the corner. Otherwise, none of these guys have any spacing to work with. So the Raptors' hands are really tied here. I think we're seeing the lack of a point guard. There were, what, seven turnovers, it felt like, in the first quarter. So many sort of, like, misreads and bad reads, and just the ball was sort of flying all over the place. This is a team that never turns the ball over, and the last three games have turned it over a ton. Now, my question to you is, what did you think this team really looked like in the offensive end, and what are you looking for from guys like Gary and OG when the team is really looking for one of them to step up offensively?
Yeah, this was one of the games that the Raptors really missed Fred VanVleet. And they were looking for that second guy to really step up. I mean, no one was doubting what Pascal Siakam was doing out there. He was taking over. But I think the consensus on Raptors Twitter was, okay, so who else is going to do something? And there were stretches where Scottie Barnes was looking to facilitate and, you know, try and get a guy like OG Anunoby going. And you know, Gary Trent Jr. had his looks, but he was pretty cold from the field on this night. So who was going to be that number two guy? And you know, Pirtle got his buckets. More of them were just kind of looks around the basket and cleanup attempts like that. And again, Scottie had his moments, but at the same time, this was the type of game that the Raptors really missed VanVleet. And he has the best excuse in the world. Congratulations to him and his family. They just had another child. So congratulations to the Raptors, the 2023 NBA champions, if history has taught us anything. But yeah, at the same time, I think it was a lot of ugly basketball. And these are the moments you call on a guy like Fred VanVleet, not only for what he brings on the court, but for his leadership intangibles. The fact that no matter what the Raptors were doing, and again, emotions were riding high early on. This is obviously a big game against a key figure in the Eastern Conference playoff hunt. And so when the officiating wasn't going their way, they got the technical foul and there was some complaining about what was and wasn't
that
happening.
Too.
You like steady Freddie's presence out there. In moments like that, you like his ability to stretch the floor. You like his ability to run the pick and roll with Pirtle. So when the offense was going cold and a guy like Anunoby wasn't stepping up, like you just kind of alluded to, Gary Trent Jr. was cold. That's kind of where the offense fell apart.
I completely agree. And I think like looking at sort of the advantages that a guy like Fred VanVleet or any sort of guard that you're going to have there has or gives you is the pick and roll game that you just mentioned with Jakob Poeltl. You're looking for some ways to get sort of easy offense. We can look to the Orlando Magic game where that team specifically was blitzing Fred VanVleet. They were pressing up so incredibly high and they were sending two guys at him. And I think when we're looking at who the Raptors have currently who can maybe run a pick and roll with Jakob Poeltl, nobody else is a good enough three-point shooter to be able to do that. You need to be a pull-up three-point threat in order for teams just not to go under every single time to take that off. So you need to be able to do that. And I think Fred VanVleet is really the only person who can, outside of Gary Trent Jr. who can have a pull-up three, but I don't think I've seen Gary Trent Jr. In a pick and roll that didn't land in Gary not taking some really ill-advised kind of to the side mid-range shot that he has no business taking. But actually, no, he knocks them down quite often. But there is no real pick and roll threat if you don't have that pull-up game. But beyond that, tonight, the Cavs were also pressing up incredibly high on the Raptors' ball handlers, which was, you know, Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes. And to me, the issue was they didn't really have sort of an outlet to get that. Like, there was just no next step. It just felt like the offense was stopped right out the gate, right? Because when you're pressing up so high, you kind of have to do everything from much higher out. You don't get that sort of advantage. And it, to me, like, I don't even know how to parse my words this late. Who just pods this late? William Liu, how do you do this? But I think it's like, I just was watching this, like, it looked, maybe I had a defeatist mindset coming into this, but it just looked like it was being stopped right away because they were pressing up so high and you just don't have guys that are good enough ball handlers to be able to really deal with that. They didn't even need to blitz them. They didn't need to send the double there. It was just, who's your outlet? Where's that going to go? And I don't know. Like, you need a point guard on this team. It's so important. I think today's game showed it. There was also this tweet from Kirthika, who is the queen of stats. She said, Raptors had a 117.1 offensive rating and averaged 116.5 points in 23, which is fantastic, right? In 23 games from January 1st to the All-Star break. In the three games since, 102 offensive rating. So we're talking about a difference of 15. And they're only averaging 101 points per game. So yes, you need a point guard to run and initiate your offense. It was seen tonight. Obviously, the Pistons and, you know, the Pelicans without Zion are not the caliber of talent that the Cleveland Cavaliers are. So unfortunately, you ran up against a better team without one player who you desperately need. And I think what we're seeing, especially with the addition of Jakob Poeltl, is like positions matter for a team that wanted to play positionless and just have a bunch of 6'9 guys. Positions do matter, and you do need to have a center, not just a nominal center, and you do need to have a point guard. So yeah, that's just my whole rant about that. I miss you, but I'm glad. Congratulations to the entire Van Vliet family on the newest addition. That's beautiful news. Can we move past the ugliness of this game, or did you have anything else to add?
Yeah, honestly, I was kind of disappointed with how stagnant the offense got. The ball wasn't moving. And the problem is that when you're doing the driving kicks, which they're accustomed to doing, and we were harsh on Ananobi because his bread and butter is standing in the corner and hitting three-pointers, is that the Cavaliers knew the Raptors weren't hitting water if they fell out of a boat, and how ugly it got. And that's why you saw Nick Nurse go deep into his bench, and that's why we saw Joe Wieskamp out there.
Wieskamp this morning. Turns out I was wrong. It is.
Yeah, Wieskamp. I know. I caught that too. And I was like, I had to go on YouTube and it's like, this is how we pronounce it, right? Okay. So Wieskamp. But his sole role is out there. He's kind of like the Jason Capono of the team. He's not expected to do much else besides space the floor and hit shots. But then he had two straight three pointers, which didn't hit the rim at all. But that's how desperate Nick Nurse was getting. He was going deep into his bench. Eventually, you know, he emptied the bench with Malachi Flynn and Banton and Ron Harper Jr. going out there. But yeah, disappointing to say the least, just because, again, this was the Raptors' first true test since acquiring Jakob Poeltl, and how good the team has looked up until this point. Again, you can't really gauge the team's success when you're beating the Zion-less Pelicans or the Orlando Magic. I mean, the Jazz game really should have been a W for the Raptors, but that ended horribly as well. So not a good sign with this being a test against a true contender in the Eastern Conference. I'm not looking too much into it. I'm not buying the fact as well that, you know, this is a back-to-back, Cleveland and Detroit. It's not the biggest trip in the world. But at the same time, you know, the Raptors
Detroit
got beat
is
by
the
a better
biggest.
Team.
I mean, winning against Detroit is kind of your championship. So they just had a championship hangover, to be fair. They
beat the Pistons. Does the Dwayne Casey curse exist anymore? I mean, we've beaten them a few times in the last few appearances.
But they're always such ugly games. They always go right down to the wire. They always,
but
they're painful.
Don't look at the box score, because the Raptors technically only barely beat the Pistons, but that's another story. But again, I'm not looking too much into this defeat. I think it was just a bad night from against a really good team. And when Donovan Mitchell, like I said, is scoring and hitting those types of shots, you kind of have to just wave the white flag and call it a game and move on to the next one.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I completely agree with that. But you know what? Things haven't been all doom and gloom. There are 20 games left in the regular season. Considering the fact that the Raptors have been kind of on the upswing with 20 games out, what do you think they do? If I asked you to look into your crystal ball and ask, you know, do the Raptors finish 10-10 in their final 20? They have some, you know, they have, I think, the toughest schedule. At one point it was the, you know, top five, but I think today I saw that it was toughest just because the strength of remaining schedule does not take into account the time that you were playing a team, right? So if you're playing Boston or Milwaukee on the final games of the season, and the Raptors, I think, play Boston twice and Milwaukee once in the final three games, do those teams actually really care? Do they actually care about those games? And I also think, in terms of strength of schedule, because I see people really, really harping on this, the NBA has the most parity that it's ever had, right? So when we're talking about strength of schedule, like playing the Lakers, who are like three games back of whatever the 7 or 6 seed is in the West, makes a huge difference when you're looking at strength of schedule. But in reality, we're talking about a team with a 3-game difference, right? Like when everyone is so bunched up, especially in the Western Conference, really caring about whatever the strength of remaining schedule is, I think, is a little bit overblown. But you want to take a look. I didn't even ask you to prep by taking a look at what the teams are. But if you just had to wager a guess, what would you think the Raptors do in their final 20 games?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal at this point is to at least finish with a record above 500. Easier said than done. They're only 2 games below 500 right now, and there's still plenty of time to go on a run. obviously, I think at this point, tanking is out of the question. If they were going to do that at any point, they would have done it a lot earlier and just accepted that fact and made some moves to blow up the roster ahead of the trade deadline. That's not the case. They brought in Poeltl. They were buyers instead of sellers. So now we're running with this roster with the intention and hope that everyone's going to stay healthy and that they can vie and hopefully sneak into the playoffs. But at this point, it's looking more so that they're likely going to end up in the play-in. Single game elimination, you're going up against probably like a Miami Heat, for example, Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls, Washington Wizards, all grouped in there together. So yeah. What are the Raptors going to do? Again, Masai Ujiri has kind of already stated this, that this is a prideful team and they want to go as far as they can go with this roster. If they realize at the end of the season that maybe it's time to make some drastic moves, sure, they'll do that because they'll have the pieces that are expiring and they can reshape the roster and hopefully go for it again next season. But as of right now, especially, you know, with this upcoming schedule, we got games against the Bulls. We got two coming up against the Wizards. How this season ultimately ends could be determined in the next week. So again, at the start of the season, maybe we didn't look at a stretch like this as having much significance, but now with the way the standings are and how tight it is in this Eastern Conference play-in race, again, the Raptors are going to have to hold down the fort and pull out some W's to really make some noise.
I completely agree with that. And when I was sort of looking at their schedule, I was really focusing in on what the Raptors really look like defensively. Because to me, like, if they can maintain a good defense, and they've been a top five defense in the month of February, which, yes, is a truncated month and has a break in between. But if they can be a top 10 defense, if they can be a top five defense, I can see them put on a string of wins to close out the, you know, the final 20 games of the season, because their offense has been top 10, top 11 for most of the year as is. I think with Fred VanVleet and with the depth that now you have with Jakob Poeltl and all these pieces around, I think the Raptors can truly put on a run, but it just depends on what they look like defensively, because we've seen this team just absolutely fall asleep. So I'm not here to be like, oh, they finally have a rim protector. They finally have someone on the back line of their defense who can anchor it. They'll be all set and they'll be all good, because as we've seen, the Raptors still deploy an incredibly aggressive defense. And if you're lackadaisical in any way, it kind of falls apart. So to me, it's just like, do they care? Because you'll see that they care by how they play defensively. And if they're playing up to it, I really do see this team sort of going on a run in those final 20 games. As you mentioned, the playoffs seem really, really tough. The Nets are free falling, but the Nets just have too many banked in wins. And also all of those wins against the Raptors, like Kyrie's game winner right now, like all of those game winners against the Raptors are really sort of hurting you if you think that you can catch up with them. I just think that they're too far out. But that 7 seed is probably looking good for the Raptors. I would pencil them in somewhere around that 7 mark.
Yeah, I mean, I posed this question on Twitter earlier as well. I mean, if the Raptors get to a certain point, you know, if they get out of the play-in or if they get into the playoffs altogether, if you're looking at those top three teams in the East, and let's be perfectly frank here, the Celtics, the Bucks, the 76ers, they're not looking at the Raptors as a team that could potentially eliminate them. I think they're looking at them as a team that they just don't want to match up against that early in the playoffs, because they will be a tough out. I'm not saying, you know, maybe they'll be any harder than like the Miami Heat, for example. They have a championship pedigree as well. But at the same time, with this new look Toronto Raptors, especially with Poeltl at the five, if you're vying to go deep into the playoffs, you don't want Toronto that early. You're looking at like a potential early first round matchup. Give me Washington. Give me Chicago. Give me a team that theoretically on paper will be an easier out. So that's why I'm really, I'm obviously biased. I'm a Toronto Raptors guy, but I'm zoning in on how this season unfolds, because if they do get
into the playoffs. You said 2020.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The three champs. You can't take that back, Walder. It's been set into stone.
Did I say that out loud? Did I say that? Look,
history has taught me that, so I'm going to stick with it. But again, at the same time, those upper echelon teams that want to vie for a championship, they're looking at the standings very closely. I can guarantee you that. And they do not want Toronto, especially if they continue to put some wins together. Don't look at this Cavaliers loss as anything but an aberration at this point. If it consistently happens, then get back to me.
I completely agree with you. And I was listening to, I think I was listening to Kevin Pelton on a pod earlier today, and he said something that I thought was really interesting in the way that the Raptors are probably, obviously he's not saying this with any sort of knowledge or talking, you know, talking to the team, just sort of looking at why the Raptors made the move that they made for Jakob Poeltl as buyers at the deadline. And he's like, you know, with all of these rumors about James Harden wanting to go to Houston and the Nets in free fall, the Raptors right now probably look at the Knicks and are like, yeah, we're better than them. And they look at the Nets and they're like, yeah, we're better than them. So that would make us, what, the top five seed in the East. And then if you have the Sixers kind of dismantle, you're like, hey, can we get into that sort of other tier? So really they're looking at the East kind of fall apart and they're saying to themselves, can we be in the upper echelon at some point? Can we be there with the Cleveland Cavaliers? Which is why I thought today's game was such an important matchup. Now, unfortunately, you don't have Fred VanVleet, and I just don't think that this team will have what it takes offensively to be able to withstand Donovan Mitchell barrage. So I just sort of look at that this game tonight as something to sort of toss aside. But it's been clear that the Raptors have had the Cavs numbers and have matched up well with them in the past. So I was really interested in listening to Kevin Pelton kind of frame it in that way, because I didn't even think about where this team looks like next year, what this team looks like next year in an Eastern Conference that will more than likely change, right? We know Brooklyn is falling out. We don't know what the Knicks are going to be any given year. We also kind of look at the Cavs and say, hey, you guys made this push. Is there something that we can do to shore up our depth next year? And you have a center and you have this where we can believe that we're in a similar tier than you, and if so, then we've just entered the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, which I thought was really interesting. And it's why these final 20 games matter so much, because now is the time to prove it. Otherwise, why believe in this team for next season at all?
I said this on Twitter as well. If the Raptors traded for Jakob Poeltl over the summer or earlier in the season, they would not have the record that they do right now.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's been evident over their recent play, the offensive rating and the defensive rating that they've had. When you're talking about the standings as well, I truly believe that there's only three teams in the Eastern Conference at the moment that are unquestionably better than Toronto. And that's Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia.
1,000%.
Brooklyn, obviously, they had a strong start because of who was on their team, which is no longer the case. I do not think the Knicks are better than the Raptors, regardless of what their fans might think. And then again, everyone in the play-in right now with Chicago, Washington, Miami, I don't think any of them, I can say with full confidence, is a better basketball team than the Toronto Raptors. I think the move for Poeltl obviously helps, and the goal this offseason will be to keep him. Hopefully Gary Trent Jr. and Fred VanVleet, the money is a different story. That'll be difficult to do as well. But you head into next season with a little bit of momentum and with a roster that fully fits the capabilities of this team with Nick Nurse at the helm. Then you're talking about a team that could be vying for home court advantage in the Eastern Conference.
Yep, no, and not to get too ahead of ourselves, let's take a step back and look at, or...
No, it's never too soon to go too ahead of ourselves,
you know what?
Iman.
It's true.
What we do here.
It's true. Let's plan the 2024 parade. Because you know what? The 2019 parade, it was fun, but I think it needed some more planning, so let's get ahead of it now, and let's plan it early. But no, Tuesday. Tomorrow when you're watching this, the Raptors will be facing the Chicago Bulls, who you mentioned are a team that we can't definitively say are better than the Raptors. But let me tell you something, they've been shooting absolutely lights out. They won today by 20 points against the Washington Wizards, who the Raptors, again, are in that sort of play-in race with. And then they absolutely demolished, just ate for lunch, breakfast, dinner, and, you know, midnight snacks, the Brooklyn Nets. None of this is making sense, guys, okay? This is my first time in front of a mic in a minute. But no, so they absolutely demolished the Brooklyn Nets. And so The team looks a little scary right now. They're really small, so I'm looking at how the Raptors match up with them. Alex Caruso plays the four for them, right? Like, when we're talking about a team like the Cavaliers, you're just like, oh, okay, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley are very big humans. And you're going to a team like the Chicago Bulls, it's very different. But when their shot is on, it is scary. When you have both Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan going off, it's scary. However, for them, that just has not been the case most nights. And this offense has not been what they've been able to produce most nights. And so what do you think the Raptors look like against that Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Chicago Bulls?
Well, it's going to be difficult because Chicago is especially feisty on defense now that they got Patrick Beverley in the fold. But with Beverly's defense comes his lack thereof on the offensive end. But that's kind of deterred by the fact that you obviously have two exceptional wing talents in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. You don't need Patrick Beverley to score 15 or 20 points a night. You don't need Alex Caruso to score 20 points a night. They have very concise.
Alex Caruso's like, fifth? Like, can I give you eight?
I'll take my Manscaped money. I'll do whatever you need to do. Like, let me just steal the ball and run in transition, and that's all I need to do. But that's what kind of I like about the makeup of the Bulls right now. They're not going to be an easy out. They're in the same position as the Toronto Raptors. They're circling this date on the calendar as a big game in terms of positioning in the Eastern Conference standings. And of course, with DeMar DeRozan's pass against the Toronto Raptors, he always, you know, he's another guy who circles revenge it on the calendar. Oh, I'm playing my old team. Revenge game, in a sense. I think the Raptors have the matchup advantages to start, but now they are coming back down to earth. And again, the Washington Wizards also in that play picture as well. Like I said earlier, this is a very important game. The Raptors can't play Chicago's game, which is kind of slowing it down. And then again, they will get right up in your grill. If you think Cleveland was doing that a lot today, Chicago will do that and then some.
Yeah, and if I got you to look into your crystal ball again, Chris, because I know that you double as a fortune teller.
My head is big, but it's not a crystal ball, unfortunately. I'm just kind of using the mic here.
What would you predict the outcome of that game is? Do you think the Raptors pull it out on Tuesday night?
What do you want me to say, Amon? I'm on Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm talking about the Toronto Raptors. No, the Chicago Bulls. They got our number.
DeMar DeRozan. Hey, there are some people who really want you to say that because they're still on Team Tank. So, you know, they'll make someone happy.
I will say this. I think DeMar DeRozan's going to have a great game against us. I think he goes for at least 28 to 30 points. But I like the Raptors' chances of pulling it out. Again, I am not, you know, dwelling on the past or in this case, the current with how this Cleveland Cavaliers game went. I think the Raptors truly do want to make the most of this end of the season. And again, the Chicago Bulls are standing in their way when it comes to moving up in that play-in or even getting into the Eastern Conference standings. So with that being said, let DeMar get his. If you can stifle either LaVine or Vucevic in the paint, that's great. I think the Raptors pull this out.
Yeah, I want to remain optimistic as well. But you know what? My reverse jinx has been impeccable all year. So it's going to be a tough game. I'm so sorry, Toronto Raptor fans, unless you're a Team Tank. I don't know. I'm just trying to take a contrarian stance here. But the Raptors should. The Raptors should win it. And if they don't, that's a problem. Like, I think with
every
game.
Still got two games against Washington. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world, but.
But I think that, like, to me, beyond it being a problem just for where you sit in the standings, to me, it's a problem because you need to look at yourself as a team that's better than the Chicago Bulls, right? Like, if you are trading a pick for Jakob Poeltl, and according to Gavoni, it is not a great draft class and everybody should be trading their 2024 pick. So that's kind of, you know, if you want to take solace in that, that was what was said on the Low Post. But I think if you're the Raptors right now, you're like, we traded a first round pick because we believed in this core and we believed in what you guys can do. And if you're still not good enough against the Chicago Bulls, that's a problem because this is a game that actually matters. This isn't just a random game in January or a random game in February or March. I don't even know when the new month begins, but this is a game that actually matters for the outlook of this team. It matters to go up against this team and actually win. You can say the Cavs won was a game that you were going to lose because it was the second night of a back-to-back, because you don't have Fred VanVleet, because you're not actually chasing them in the standings. Okay, fine and dandy. You're going to lose some games along the way, but the Chicago Bulls is a game that you're supposed to win. And so if you lose it, I do think that that's a problem.
And as well, look, you got Jakob Poeltl for games like this. He matches up great against Vucevic. If you had Poeltl on this roster earlier in the season when a Zubac from the Clippers and Steven Adams were putting up crazy numbers against us, they're not doing anything close to that if Poeltl's out there.
Yeah.
So again, he matches up well against Vucevic. And again, if you can keep DeMar or Zach LaVine,
these are the matchups the field, you got him for sure.
No
these
reason the to exact... think Toronto won't win this game.
Yeah, no, definitely. These are the exact matchups that you got him for. So, like, hey, this is when you got to prove it, that you're worth keeping together, because free agency is going to come. And how are you going to convince yourself it's worth paying, almost entering the luxury tax? I don't think the Raptors are going to enter the luxury tax for this team, but brushing up against it at the very least for a team that can't even beat the Chicago Bulls in a must-win game. So that's sort of my thoughts on it. But so I'm going to predict a win. But that just feels a little doom and gloom. So let's actually talk about some fun stuff. Let's talk about the playoffs as though it's going to happen. Let's manifest this in the way that we're speaking. We're speaking it into existence. So, Chris, I love the stats that you pull out. I love the numbers that you pull out. I love you telling me when Scottie Barnes overtakes someone in the Raptors' all-time scoring list. And so I thought I would play a game with you. Because the focus is the playoffs. That's where my mind is at. I'm trying to manifest this. So I want Scotty to make some of these playoff boards. let's look at this. Okay, so I'm going to ask you some playoff all-time Raptor questions. Ooh. Do you think you're ready?
Absolutely not, but I'm going to do it anyway.
All right, we'll start with an easy one. Who has played the most minutes for the Toronto Raptors in the playoffs?
Ooh, I mean, my mind would say Kyle Lowry.
That is correct. That is correct. You know who's number two on that list?
Number two? Mm-hmm. DeMar?
It is DeMar DeRozan. Yes. Can you?
I'm not completely useless.
No, it like what I thought was so funny was when I was going through it, Kyle's played like over around 3,100 minutes and DeMar was like 1,900. And I'm like, wow, Kyle really is just the longevity there, like more than 1,000 over the next person. Like that is absolutely absurd considering some guys are on the list with just 1,000 minutes on their own. So I thought that was just absolutely hilarious. Now, can you tell me? I'm going to tell you Kyle Lowry is first for games played.
Sure.
In the playoffs for the Toronto Raptors. Who do you think is second in games played for the Toronto Raptors? Hi, kitty cat.
My cat just came up here. He wants to help. He heard there was a trivia game going on, and he's usually the brains behind
this
operation.
Do you have the answer, cat?
So sorry, what was the question again? Is my cat's tail just clotheslined me?
Kyle Lowry has played the most Raptor playoff games. Who is second on the list?
I guess it's not DeMar. Because I feel like that would have been a pretty straightforward question. The second most games in Raptors.
Playoff
that's
history.
A tough one. Was it someone who was a part of the 2019 championship team?
Yeah.
Yes? Ooh, that's even... Oh, man, that narrows it down a bit. It's not Gasol.
Well, the Raptors didn't really make the playoffs outside of that entire era.
Yeah, that's true.
This is not like... I don't know. This is not...
I'll Why say can't I think of OG? Is it OG?
It is not OG Anunoby. I will tell you, OG is not on my list here.
Ooh, okay. Well, Pascal's been kind of...
You know what it is? Because OG didn't actually play in any of the 2019 playoff games.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He did not play in that run. Ooh, good one. Is it Pascal?
Pascal is fourth.
Also, he's not too far back.
He's not too far
back. And he was a part of the 2019 championship team?
He was a part of the 2019 championship team.
Can't be Bach. And this is the second most. Oh, man.
You just said a name who is third on the list.
Ibaka?
Ibaka's third on the list.
Ibaka's third? Good for you, Serge. Or as Amon's mother pronounced in a text message, Serge Ibaka.
Ibaka.
For the people who follow her on Twitter, by the way. The only other name I'm going to guess, Norman Powell.
That is correct. Norman Powell, 67 playoff games for the Toronto Raptors. He is number two all time on that list. You know, because he is the oldest of the young guys, right? Like he is the oldest of those young guys. So he was drafted a year before them.
I blocked him out of like my playoff perception ever since he took off from way too far out again in that Pacers game. And I was about to like scold the guy because I thought, man, if you missed this breakaway dunk because you took off too soon.
It was a beauty. But, it was a beauty.
Happy for
Norm,
I guess.
So who do you think is first in points. We're almost done here. We're just going to hammer out some of these last few ones.
Sure. The leading scorer in Raptors history for playoffs?
Playoff points.
I'll say, I don't think it's, is it DeMar?
No, he's second.
DeMar's second. Kyle?
It is Kyle Lowry. Want you to guess is number three and number four. So we know Kyle's number one. DeMar's number two. Who are your number three and number four for all-time playoff points for the Toronto Raptors?
Watch, Kawhi's probably in there, right?
Kawhi is number four. Absurd. What the hell?
Yeah. Kawhi went off during that 2019 championship run. Shout out to that guy on Twitter that said Marc Gasol was more valuable than Kawhi Leonard during that entire playoff run. I wanted to block him immediately for that. Get out of here with that hot take. So Kawhi was number four. Number three?
Yeah. Like, Vince is like number like eight on this list, and Kawhi is number four in a single season.
Yeah, Vince didn't get many playoff games with the Raptors, unfortunately, because early on, the first round was like three games, five too, games. So he didn't get that extra game. Sorry.
Won the first round in five games against the Orlando Magic, too. So, Vince, you have no excuses, buddy.
That's true. Is it Pascal Siakam?
Pascal Siakam is number three. That is correct. All right. So, now the last one that I'm going to quiz you on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are two people who are tied for most rebounds in Raptors playoff history. Can you name the two people?
Now you're throwing rebounds at me. See, without basketball reference, I'm like totally oblivious to this stuff. Shout out to the Scotty Barnes run, by the way. I haven't done a tweet like that in a minute because he hasn't passed anybody.
Yeah, no.
Rebounds.
Gotta wait.
Man, Pascal again?
No.
No. Is no it like Pascal. There must be a center? Pascal's
number four on the list.
Pascal's number four?
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi wouldn't have had that money.
No.
He's
like number six on the list behind DeMar.
DeMar's probably DeMar's
oh gave
five.
That up
DeMar's yeah I don't
five on the list.
You know what, I would not be surprised Lowry's
number one tied with
Lowry's probably number one, right? Yeah,
I was like, I was going through this and I was like, yeah, Lowry obviously for points, yeah, Lowry for minutes, Lowry for games played, Lowry for rebounds.
He knows how to box out.
A second.
Here's how Baby got back and Lowry got back.
Kyle Lowry and Jonas Valanciunas are tied first overall. They have the exact same. So Kyle, you should have gotten one more rebound in that championship run, or you know.
I would have said Valanciunas just for the record, you know, just putting.
I'm sorry, I took that from you. But like, because Lowry to me was a surprise. I was like, oh, like JV, yeah, that makes sense. Wait, Lowry? Like what?
Mr. Rebound, Kyle Lowry. There's one thing we associate with Kyle Lowry other than charges. Yeah, Borden. Hey. Look at that. Repping the brand here, guys.
There we go. It was fitting to close on rebounds. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for joining me. Hopefully, Pascal, Fred, OG, Norm, Scotty can all rise up the all-time playoff rankings this year. Kitty Cat, do you agree with me? What's your cat's name? So I'm not just referring to it as Kitty Cat.
His name is Walter. His name is Walter, and my last name is
Walter. Walder. So, hi, Walter, Mr. Walder. That's adorable.
We're not having children, and we agreed that if we ever did, Walter was a name that my wife really wanted to name someone. But the cat was a, you know, we don't want to send a Walter Walder to the playground. You know what I mean? It's not good for that.
Your future child, if you ever choose to have one, thanks you for that decision, I think.
Saved him from years of ridicule on the playground.
Walter Walder. That's great. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. Please tell everybody where they can find you and all of your work.
I'm at Walder Sports on Twitter. The Walder Sportscast is back. Shout out to my first guest, the lovely Iman here. We had a great show. Look for that on Monday morning. So by the time this is released, it'll already be out. Subscribe to my show on Apple Podcasts. And I'm looking forward to the future of the show. And I'm beyond grateful and beyond appreciative to be asked to come back here on Yahoo Sports Canada. It truly means a lot.
Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you everyone for listening. And we'll catch you next time, hopefully after some wins.